gentlemen, welcome to episode 4 of the Jackass Express podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Jonathan.
This is Martha Stewart.
And I'm Tip.
And our special returning guest, again, Johnny.
Johnny.
Forever the special guest. Yeah, he just happens to be here.
I can't get a job anywhere else.
So, you know. Yeah, he just keeps returning, and, you know.
They keep putting me on the air, I guess.
Yeah. Got nothing better to do.
Except for sleep, you know.
Now, this is a voluntary podcast. Our HR department says we can't pay you, so, I mean.
Why? We can give you an HR department?
Yeah, who's the HR?
Me. No, just playing.
Oh, I was like, I'm not.
Is he the one that also legalized a cat for a piano?
No.
So, to our Chinese friends, I'd like to say, Nin Hao, Han Ying, Geng Lai. I don't think I said that right.
Wow, Tip.
Okay.
That was pretty impressive.
You don't really need to say Nin Hao, because, like, Nin, it's really polite, but you can just be like, Ni Hao, right?
Here at the Jackass Express, we hold ourselves to a high standard of politeness around the world.
Okay, but generally, no one really says Nin Hao, but okay, good enough, though, Tip, good enough.
Hey, I practiced all week ever since you told me that someone in Taiwan listened to it.
Yeah, but everyone who listens to it in Taiwan are Americans.
Oh.
Jeez.
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
Well, then, howdy, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I know they're from different parts of the country, but yeah.
We'll give them a good old Texas howdy.
Actually, no, I take that back. We do have one Taiwanese listener, so.
See? For that one guy, I helped him out.
There you go.
That's what we do here. We help out the people who listen to us.
Speaking of helping out people, so I know this is bound to come up anyways, but I'm pretty sure you guys have talked about the whole Jopa thing.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Have you heard about that, Johnny?
Oh, the Penn State guy?
Penn State?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
You know,
but you know,
it really kind of blows my mind how the guy who stumbles upon whatever's happening in the shower room decides to be like, you know, it kind of reminded me of the episode of The Simpsons where Homer is on the ladder and he sees Apu and his wife having sex, and then so he starts backing away until he gets all the way back to his house. And it just really reminded me of this, like, you know, some guy, he's putting his fucking shoes in the locker, right? And then suddenly he hears some, like, fapping noises, and you're like, oh man, what the fuck is that shit going on over there? And then he goes, starts looking, and sure enough, he sees this old guy butt-fucking this little kid, and you're like, oh my god, I gotta do something. But no, he just slowly backs away and pretends nothing ever happened, and then just nonchalantly just tells his dad, hey, you know, I just saw Coach in the shower room banging some dude.
He didn't tell his dad. He told Joe Paterno.
No, from what I read, he talked to his dad, and his dad said, you should talk to Joe Pa about this. And then they're like, okay, let's go to Joe Pa. And then Joe Pa is like, oh, all right, well, I'll do my civic duty and pass it up to the higher-ups. And then...
Well, the higher-ups at the time were also the head of the campus police department.
And yet they still didn't do anything.
Yeah, and this guy that you're talking about, Coach Gradowski, I think his name was.
Was it Gradowski? No.
Something like that. Granicki or
something
with a G.
It is, I'm actually looking up at the article right now, is, what's his face?
You know what, though, regardless of whether or not he, because I know he's claiming he reported it, therefore he did what he was supposed to, but he shouldn't have allowed that guy back in his locker room, let alone his team.
It was McCreary. Well, McCreary.
McCreary. Yeah. Well, if I had been in that situation, I would have been arrested for something much more than assault.
Yeah, it would have been complete suffocation of that bastard.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding. Yeah. I mean,
I would have been pulled over and had to explain to police why I was dragging a man behind my truck, attached to my truck by his testicles.
Right. And then he'd probably give you a thumbs up and say, carry on.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just kind of weird because if you think about it, it's like you would think these guys are adults and everything, and they're like, okay, you know, we should go to the police. And especially if, like, you know, Joe Pa's there with you and you're talking to the police, they're going to believe him because obviously he's, you know, his word is gold over there. Probably not anymore.
Yeah.
But, But well, you know, I'm pretty sure like, the ball would have gotten rolling, and you know, it could have stopped.
Yeah. Well, the problem was that the guy who told Jopa, apparently, he said that he was fondling the kid. He was you know, inappropriately touching the kid. He didn't say he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He downplayed it.
And then all Joe Paterno did was tell him that there's no more boys allowed in the shower, which kind of is weird that that wasn't a rule prior to that.
No boys in the boys' shower?
I don't think it's someone open to beer.
I like that sound.
But I don't think it was, you know, I don't think they ever thought that they would have to make that kind of rule. You know, I mean, football is still football is still one of those things that I think people that are involved in the sport feel like it's a man's man. It's a man's game. Like, you know, they don't think like.
Where it's still acceptable to slap guys in the ass and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, how many openly parties. Gay football players are there? I can't think of one. So it
I'm pretty
seems
sure
like it's still
few.
One of those. Well, I'm sure there are too, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But it still seems like it's one of those closed
societies,
closed environments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Environments. You know, and that's also it. It's, I think it's also kind of like the bros code or something like that, or you know, it's the coach's creed where thou shalt not narc on thy coach neighbor or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just generally watch each other's back.
I just can't. I can't imagine what that poor kid must have been thinking. Oh, you know, like April was saying, here comes this other coach. He's going to come help me because obviously this guy's freaking raping me, and the coach just walks away.
Yeah, he's
I mean that's
like,
got to be the ugliest feeling
I know.
In the world.
To see like help me, and then this guy's like, you have fun with that, and then walk off.
That's...
You know, it's. But I try to put myself in the like, what would I have done? Like, really, had I walked in on that? Would I, like, automatically jump to action, or would I be like, wait a minute, I don't understand what's going on? Like, what would my reaction be to that?
You know, it's easy to say, like, what you would do unless you are actually in that situation.
Yeah.
Know? And I think, but I would probably think if you saw someone generally getting hurt, you would do something about it.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, you wouldn't, like, drag ass and be like, you know, say, hey, man, some guy's in the shower fondling some kid. No, you're like, I just saw
knock it off.
Fucking coach blah, 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 nail some kid in the shower. We should call the police or do something about
yeah.
it, you know?
Exactly. And it's just...
I mean, come on. Think about it like this, too. If you're in your neighborhood and, you know, I remember this, like, off on the other side of my street was that street cardigan. And
oh, yeah.
I remember it had this one gang, and they called themselves the Cardigans or whatever. And it was very weird because on one side of Edgemere, it was, you know, nice and safe. But on the other side, it was like the gangland. And I remember hearing, like, you know, gunshots from, like, a drive-by or some nonsense like that. And that shit would, you know, get called in.
Yeah.
Something like this. I mean, I guess you're so worried about the reputation of your school system or your program.
I think
that... Their brain just shuts off, you know?
I guess so. But I would think, though, I mean, when it's something as serious as that, all that stuff about school pride and, you know, the upholding the face value and traditions kind of gets thrown out the window.
It goes in the toilet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
They pulled a Rick Perry.
You know, by trying to...
I'm trying to set off tip here.
Now, what was I going to say?
I just lost everything right there.
There you go. So before we got onto the subject of Jopa, I heard that Tip went to the Cattleman's last night and he got a really nice steak. And I think we all had an experience with steak this week. I have a very funny story regarding that, actually.
Okay.
Was your steak called the Wagon Master?
The what?
Mine was called the wagon Master.
Is that a new steak?
No, it's a T-bone steak. It's pretty big.
I don't remember the Wagon Master.
They got a bigger one now than the Wagon Master. It's called the Cowboy.
No, that's been there for a long time, because I remember the Cowboy. They had the Cowboy and the Cowgirl, and the Cowboy was like, I don't know, 24...
2 pounds.
It was 2 pounds, so
yep.
1 kilo. Wow, all right.
And then,
pretty big.
The Wagon Master is 1¾ pounds.
Oh my god.
I didn't think I could do the extra
quarter pound.
Oh, quarter pound. Yeah, the extra meat, but as it turns out, I was driving home and was considering stopping at McDonald's because I was still hungry, so I probably could have just gone with the cowboy.
Yeah, you probably should have just gone with the cowboy. You know, that kind of reminds me of a story when I was in the Philippines. I was in the Philippines for like over a month, and I was really craving a burger. I think I told you guys this story before. But anyways, I remember saying to my cousins, like, you know, we got to get a burger. You know, I can't do Jollibees because it's not hamburger. It's too sweet. I don't like it. Let's get a real fucking burger. He's like, all right, you know, I know this place. You know, it's called Burger X, and they have really good burgers. Oh, no, it wasn't Burger X. It was called Bite Club. That's what it was, Bite Club.
Oh, God.
And when I got there, and I was looking at the menu, I was like, all right, I'm going to get the biggest fucking burger in the whole place. And it was this burger. It was called Burger X. And I'm reading the description, and it said, Burger X, 1 kilo of American USDA beef, and, like, all this other stuff. I'm like, 1 kilo? And I had to do, like, my mental conversions. I'm like, damn, that's like 2.2 pounds. And so I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm doing Burger X. And so I get this burger, and it's huge, man. It's, like, it's definitely bigger than my head at the time. And I remember just tearing into this thing, and I was like, you know, it comes with fries too, like, you know, basket of fries. So I'm just tearing into it, and I clean it off, and I clean off my fries, and I even eat some of my sister's fries too. And I just remember afterwards, you know, feeling elation, and then just feeling, oh my god, I'm fucking full. Like, I was so full. I did not eat dinner, breakfast, or lunch the next day. It was retarded how much beef I consumed that one night. And then, of course, when it all came out, I was like, oh, man, this has got to be a record or something. But I'll never forget that burger. It was ginormous. So I can only imagine the cowboy, you know? That's a lot of steak.
Oh, yeah. It was worth it.
But you're saying, Patrick?
I didn't eat that, but I had the Wagon Master.
I had never made steak before in my life, and this week I decided that it was finally time. I had gotten some steaks from my dad a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, with steaks you want to be careful because you don't want to undercook them, and then you end up, you know, botching it, and then you wasted a steak. So this week I figured I'm going to try it. So I go into the kitchen, I put on a skillet because I don't have a grill here, and I start the stupid steak. Well, I didn't realize this, but because my apartment's so small, the steam or the smoke, you know, spread very quickly. And I don't know who designed this apartment, but there are smoke detectors, like, I'm not kidding you, like 3 feet from the kitchen, where there's the most likely to have smoke come from it. And it was traveling to our living room, and the whole time, April's like, what are you doing? It looks like there's a fire in here. So I'm going and grabbing my little kitchen rag, and I'm trying to fan away the smoke from the smoke detector.
So,
and I'm running back, and I'm flipping the steak.
The story is I should buy you a hibachi.
Yeah, a hibachi grill.
Probably. And then the other thing, they won't let us grill on our patio, so it's not like I could just take it outside. Yeah, they don't let us grill on our patio.
That sucks.
Live in a crappy ass.
You know,
apartment.
You can buy those.
Yes, we do.
You can ask. Actually, you should probably ask my mom, but she has that skillet, which has like the grill mark indentations on it, and it's just like, you know, grilling on a grill. You get the grill marks and everything on your steak, and it comes out actually quite nice.
Yeah,
and it's actually a big enough pan where you can fit like a full blown T-bone steak.
Well, I have to say, it actually came out pretty good.
George Foreman.
It came out very, very good, and I was impressed. I made another one that night, and then I made another one the next day.
Wow!
It was good.
You're living the life, man. Steak for dinner, steak for lunch, steak for breakfast.
That's right. Wake up in the middle of the night, freaking pull it out of the fridge, and it was good.
Someone's doing very well for themselves.
Well, my dad got it for me, so I just made it.
Well, if you open the linked up dump, you'll see what I ate last night.
You put it in there?
Yeah.
And the Dropbox? Let me check.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's 1¼ pound. I'm sorry.
Now you're like, this is from the website. Yeah. I was like, it's a damn.
You really went all out
today. Wow. Like, you really look professional on these pictures here.
He had a little wagon.
The wagon and everything, yeah. Wow. He had a nice setup going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Judging by the jalapeno, this makes you wonder what kind of audience they're playing to.
Actually, it's owned by a big German dude.
What, Cattleman's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's owned by some Germans, his name, right?
His name's Dieter.
Dieter? Is his first name George?
Yeah. No, that is his first name is Dieter.
You know, actually, my aunt went to high school with a... Oh, no, I'm thinking of Diedrich, the guy from, you know, what was that? Drew Carey show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Diedrich whatever. Never mind.
Oh. I was going to say, if she went to school with him, she lived in Germany?
No.
And she's as old as my grandma?
No, definitely not. No, I thought you were talking about what Johnny was talking about when he said Frederick Dieter or something.
No, George Dieter.
George Dieter.
George Dieter. Dieter Babar? Do you mean Diedrich Babar? Badar or Bader?
Who?
I don't know anyone's name on that show.
Oswald from
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because I got to put this into LinkedIn, so I got to figure out the name. I'm like, Diedrich from Drew Carey Show. Google? Okay. Yeah, this guy's been in everything. He was also the karate instructor in Napoleon Dynamite, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Shredder?
Yeah, I know that guy.
That guy's
cool.
What
was his name on Drew Carey?
Oswald.
Yeah,
Oswald Lee Harvey. Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, and then I guess that show just kind of died, right?
Yeah. Well, look at Drew Carey. He lost so much freaking weight. There's no way they could have continued with that show.
Why not?
Yeah, so he just went to The Price is Right.
Okay, I got to see a now picture of Drew Carey because obviously it's been too long.
Really, Jake? Wow. Oh.
He actually looks old now that he's lost all that weight.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. He looks, yeah, really old now that he lost the weight.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how when you're fat, you look a little younger.
You look healthy.
Yeah, you look healthier. You got a healthy sheen going on.
When you're fat, you look healthy, huh?
Damn right you do. Remember that.
Remember back in the old days, being fat was a sign of wealth
virility.
A sign that you could feed yourself.
Yeah.
Virility, right? As you're going.
Yeah.
And now it's a sign for women to stay away from you.
Yeah.
Good for him though. I mean that's awesome that, you know, he got fed up with the weight and he just decided to heck with it. I'm gonna lose all this weight and yeah, he looks older, but I mean that's freaking amazing. That's the hardest thing in the world is lose that much weight.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely pretty hard to lose weight.
Why did you say that sucks? What are you talking about?
That he's not fat anymore?
Oh, no, I thought that Tip's complaining because he's fat.
Oh.
Tip's like the furthest thing from fat.
Yeah.
No,
your height to weight ratio, I believe, is...
Is actually...
Is optimal.
On par. It's optimal.
Yeah. It's optimal levels.
But I was just feeling the pain of everybody else.
Okay.
Well, not you guys.
You're just being a bleeding heart, I guess, for people you don't know.
Yeah. For people I don't know or talk to or hang out with.
I wonder what is the optimal weight to weight ratio?
Height to weight.
Oh, yeah. Weight to weight ratio. Height to weight ratio.
Length times
There's
width
a formula
times
for it somewhere.
I go to GNC and they have a booth that you stand on and it tells you everything.
There you go.
There we go.
Oh.
Ideal weight for men.
So what are you drinking there, Chase?
I am drinking Blue Girl.
Blue Girl.
Yeah, I think it's a Pilsner lager beer from I think it's from Korea.
Oh boy.
Even
this podcast brought to you by Blue Girl. I'm sorry.
They try to make it look like it's from what's it called? Czechoslovakia.
Is it a Blue Moon ripoff?
No. No, it's actually, it's kind of a good light beer. It's definitely not like Blue Moon because it's a barley beer. No, it's not a barley beer.
Is that your primary, like, beer now?
No. it's definitely not my primary beer. It's just what was cheap at the store.
You found the Asian equivalent of Bud Light, essentially.
This is much better than Bud Light, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, we don't lots get of cool are... fancy. Because we came up with an interesting topic at the end of last week's podcast, which was how we all handled the 21st birthday experience.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'll never forget my 21st birthday.
And I think that would be an interesting couple of stories to tell.
Who's going first?
I say let Tip go first, because then he sets the bar.
Okay. So.
Well, then I'm going to set it pretty low. My 21st birthday.
I remember your 21st birthday.
What did I do?
Not much.
Well, Jonathan, you seem to remember my 21st. No, I remember I woke up. My mom had given me a 6-pack of Fat Tire.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
I went to eat at Rib Hut.
And we got a beer there.
Yeah. And then that was it.
No, we did go out to, I believe we went to, what was that bar on Lee Trevino?
Oh, Ale House.
Ale House. I believe we went to
No
House.
We didn't.
No?
We didn't go anywhere because I was the first one to turn 21.
Right, yeah, you were the first one. So none of us could drink at the time. Yeah, basically, so... you were the guy who could buy us the beers. Yeah.
And I remember I went out with a couple other friends. Well, I didn't really go out. I just went to their house after I sat on my girlfriend's couch for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And they got me, like, pissed drunk. I think we, between the three of us, we went through like 230 packs.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And you lived through that?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. It's kind of, these people I almost died with a number of times. Jonathan can attest to that, whether it be getting attacked by neo-Nazis or driving the wrong side on the road.
What the hell?
It was just...
Oh, okay. I'm like, which friends are these? I'm like, oh, okay, I remember.
Wait, I gotta hear the story about driving on the wrong side of the road. What happened there?
Well, it's all one story.
Yeah.
When you're driving between here and Houston, namely on the way home from Houston, and it's like midnight, the freeway exits in a weird way.
Yeah.
So I exited the way the freeway had me exit. To the left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know this, but where I stopped after the exit, I was immediately supposed to turn, because then it turns into a one-way street going the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my God.
And you got to remember, we're in a van pulling a trailer full of musical equipment.
And then I'm driving, and then I see the semi coming, and I, like, swerve to miss it, and I just hear a bunch of shit, like, fall over, and I hear Jonathan in the back, "God damn it, what's your problem?"
Well, I think because we had a TV back there and an Xbox. And all this shit.
And you guys were asleep, so you didn't see this imminent danger coming out.
Yeah, we had no idea how close we were to imminent death.
Oh, my God.
And so all we could do was just break Tip. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? All right, someone else has got to drive. You know?
But, yeah, That was and would you believe that wasn't even the first near-death experience
on
that trip?
No, it wasn't. It definitely was not.
The first one was we went to a little town called Ozona, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Ozona, and, you know, yeah, that's right. I remember
we stopped
this.
To get gas. It was early in the morning. We'd been driving all night. And then, so we get out, and we're all walking around trying to figure out everything. And this car parks on the other gas pump, like, across from us. We don't really notice anything. And then, like, we go inside, and there's all these, like, skinhead neo-Nazis with their tattoos everywhere. Did I just get kicked off?
No.
Oh, okay. But, they're all there, and, like, so we hurry up, and we're walking out. We get ready to pump our gas. And then, Rob notices the guy on one side that looks like he's battle-hardened. He has a scar on the side of his head and everything. And then here comes Jonathan, walking out with this other guy walking behind him, you know, that's definitely friends with the neo-Nazis.
Yeah, and I didn't see.
Dude, it's like American History X in there.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea that the guy was walking behind me, and like, you know, yeah, he was all like, tatted up with his like swastikas and shit, and I was like, man, it's like American History X.
I just remember leaning on the side of the van going, we're gonna get our ass kicked.
Yeah.
And luckily, Rob got out of the van and kind of scared him off, because Rob was
like a bear.
6'4", and like just a bear of a man.
Yeah, the guy's huge. So, it was a refrigerator.
So that kind of ended all our problems. But, you know, that it was a very eventful trip.
Indeed.
That is awesome. So, before we got on the topic of neo-Nazis...
let's go back to 21st birthdays.
There you go. Johnny... do you recall much about how you celebrated your 21st birthday?
Yeah, we'll just go in order of birth dates.
Oh, there you go. Julian technically be next.
Well, Julian, on the other hand, could not make it.
Why?
Because he thought it was...
He thought we were 9 o'clock tonight.
Oh, yeah. My God.
He didn't realize it was
Who told
morning.
Him that?
I don't know.
I gave him all the instructions. And you know
you
what?
Julian can't follow instructions.
I'm going to try again next week.
You know, I even talked to him in the morning. I was like, hey, man, you're up pretty early. He's like, oh, yeah, I just woke up. I was like, oh, probably, you know, out of habit. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you excited about the podcast we're about to do? He's like, yeah, I guess so. I'm like, y'all ready? You got everything set? Because we're going to go, you know, right, boom, bam, boom. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I'm ready, I'm ready. And... So I was under the impression that he was ready to go in, like, 2 hours' time. And then, you know, Tip and I were talking to him. I was like, okay, man, why don't you do a quick little recording? He's like, all right, well, you know, I don't have much time right now, but I'll do something. And I'm like, what do you mean not much time? You realize this is going to be an hour or longer, right? And he's like, oh.
Oh, God. I think there is a large amount of miscommunication in the whole process. Hopefully, in the second time, we'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah, it's okay.
But there's always a large amount of miscommunication with us. I mean,
that's what this podcast is all about, miscommunication.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Johnny, tell us a little bit about your 21st birthday experience from what you can remember.
All right. Well, from what I remember, I turned 21 when I was still working at Big Five. So me and a bunch of the guys there decide, hey, let's go take out Johnny for his birthday. You know, it's 21. Let's go.
Just real quick, Big Five is a sporting goods store.
Yes.
Yeah. For those that don't
right.
know.
So we went to one of my favorite Italian restaurant, you know, Lorenzo's. And, you know, I'm there. I'm loading up my slice of pizza, you know, on the fixings bar, you know, a little garlic and whatnot. Oh, man, that's good stuff. And then I see this guy over at the pizza boxes, you know, giving me the stink eye. So I gave him the crook eye back, you know?
You gave him the stink eye?
I gave him the crook eye back. I was like, all right, you know?
Oh, okay.
All right, so then I noticed that he's not alone. It just hit me that I'm taking on the whole entire Van Buren boys. So I'm like, what the heck?
Van Buren
heck?
Boys.
So I was like, okay, Van Buren. Buren boys. You know, the local gang here?
Yeah, no way.
So,
really?
Yeah.
We have a real Van Buren boys? Not like from Seinfeld?
No, they're Van Buren boys. So then, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, they were just as mean as he was, you know. So, you know, I make a move to the door, you know, to see, you know, to get out of there. Whoop. But then they blocked it. So then I was like, okay, well, let me go for the bathroom. And I grabbed the knob, and guess what it said? Someone says, Occupado! Oh, my God.
Occupado!
So then...
Should have said, not anymore. Kicked it open.
So then they back me up against, like, this cartoon map of Italy, I remember, and it says, and then all of a sudden, they just stopped. Well, I remember that thing from Seinfeld where they said, well, you know, give them the 8 signs. So because I was holding still the garlic shaker in my hand, I was showing the 8 fingers. It
no
was their
way.
Secret sign,
Wait
you remember?
A minute, here we
and
go.
Then all of a sudden,
no way.
So I am reading the synopsis for the episode of Seinfeld called The Van Buren Boys.
That's what I thought. I was like, come on, man. Van Buren Boys.
It's a great read, Johnny. Sounds very familiar.
He was like, you know, I can distinctly remember this.
Why does it sound so familiar?
You know, we're trying to run a podcast out of fact and truth. And so, actually.
Geez. Well, normally they left me alone because, you know, they thought I was a former VB boy. So, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was pretty lame. We just went to the House of Rock, the House of Rock. The Rock House. What is that place on Viscount Tip? Before it,
the House of Rock.
Was
is in the House of Rock?
Before it was something else. It was
the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah,
or
something
the Blue
like
Iguana.
That. Something like that. Yeah, Blue Iguana.
Oh, that's
so I just went
was.
There with a couple of friends and they just started drink. They gave me a bunch of beers and that was it. It was a very lame, but you know it was enough.
See, I like what you did there, is that you realized that it wasn't as eventful, so you chose to impose another story on top of yours. That made it very entertaining.
I'm just glad you
did. As soon as you said the Buren Boys, I was like,
well,
no way.
I said, the Los Chavez Boys?
Yeah, if you change it to like some like legitimate gang name.
It's Los
Cuchillos. Los Lobos or something.
So I made the sign of the wolf.
Hey, you could have sold us on that for sure.
Yeah.
If you made it non-referenced.
The second you referenced the garlic shaker, there was a problem, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, I have one question to ask you about these Van
What's
Buren
up, buddy?
Boys. Did you dominate the dojo?
Tip, I don't know what it is. For some reason, we keep going back up to the subject. I don't know why.
The Van Buren
No,
boys.
I think Tim knows what I'm talking
Van Buren
about.
The dojo?
No, we're not going to get into this. We opened up the podcast with this conversation, and that makes four straight episodes. We've talked about some little kid and some kind of act.
Oh,
what? What are you talking about? Oh, wait. Kramer.
Yeah.
I like the picture. It's...
Okay, I was like, what is, are we talking
anyway,
about?
Anyway.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
So, Chase hasn't said his story.
Oh, yeah,
story
Chase,
yet.
What happened to you?
Well, actually, I'm still trying to remember if we did anything for Julian's 21st birthday. If we could do a secondhand account.
No, because he was, I don't know where Julian was.
You know, I don't think we really did much. I bet you anything, we probably just went to wherever they sell Lone Star. And then you just bought a lot of that stuff. Something like that. All right. Well, so my 21st
birthday.
Yeah, what
happened?
Well, for my 21st, I took a trip to Riverside, California, which is...
Oh, I remember that trip.
Which is actually... It's a short drive. Well, not kind of a short drive, but it's a few hours away from L.A. Mm-hmm. But anyways... So I go to Riverside and I stay with, it was about a week with my cousin. And, I remember the day of my birthday, we went into Hollywood and we were going to go see a show at this, place called the Knitting Factory. And before we were going, before the show started, we decided to like, you know, go to a bar and just, you know, start drinking it up, you know, like
not
pre-game.
To interrupt, but, what show were you going to? Do you remember?
It was this band called, Satori. And,
oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And also, it was actually a venue. It was called, like, the Blue Beat Lounge. And another guy who runs it was Chris Murray. But anyways, so we're driving up and down Hollywood Strip. And we could not find a bar for the life of us. It's like, they are
You're in Hollywood and you can't find a bar.
Yeah, they were, like, non-existent. We just kept driving up and down, up and down. And I remember my cousin's like, you know what, let's just go to... At first, our original plan was to go to Hooters, because he was like, you know what, let's go to Hooters, get some booze and boobs, you know? And I was like, that sounds,
oh
you know,
goodness.
It's a pretty legitimate, you know, idea. So we're trying to find Hooters, and, you know, we couldn't find it, and we're trying to find these other bars, but we couldn't find it. And then finally, when we just about gave up, I looked to the right, and then there's Hooters right there. I was like, oh, hey, there it is. So, you know, we park and pull in, and we go into the Hooters, and then my cousin's like, hey, you know, what do you guys have on shelf, you know? And they're like, well, we don't have any shelf liquor. All we have is beer on tap. And we're like, ah, fuck that, man. We want beer. You know, we want to get liquored up. So we get out of Hooters, and we start walking back to the club. And we passed by this place, and it was called called the Powerhouse. And we're like, the Powerhouse.
Oh,
I was like, man, this something sounds really shady about this place. So like, we weren't sure if it was a gay bar or not, but we go in, and the place. We decided to go in anyways because it's the only bar there, and so we go in, and the place is like it's a total dive. You know, it's really dark and you know kind of leaky, And, you know, there's a few locals there and everything like that. And it was really laid back and kind of chill. And so we go in there, and, like, my cousin's like, hey, it's my cousin's 21st fucking birthday, you know? And everyone's like, yeah. And then it's like, let's get him a drink. So, like, he, you know, goes to the bartender, and the bartender's like, you know, all right, let me see some IDs. So we show him. He's like, all right, buddy, you're 21. Here's a shot on the house. So he gives me a shot, and, like, it was actually a really good shot. To this day, I remember the taste, but I never remember the name. But basically, it tasted like Capri Sun.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing.
I'm sure if we go to a bar and ask them, do you have a girly drink that tastes like a Capri Sun? Someone can whip it up for you.
I guess so. But anyways, it was a shot, and, you know, it was really good. I was like, man, why does this taste like Capri Sun? And so after that, you know, we started pounding back some, like, you know, Jack and Cokes, and then started doing, like, tequila shots and shit like that. So, you know, we had a nice buzz going on. And then there's this old guy that's sitting next to us, and he overheard our conversation.
The powerhouse.
And he's like, so it's your 21st birthday, right? I was like, yeah, you know. And he's like, oh, that's cool. You know, what are you planning on doing? So I was telling him all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm planning on going to Japan and all those things. And he's like, no kidding, you know, when I was on tour, I used to go to Japan a lot. Like, on tour, you know, you were in a band. He's like, yeah, you know, I was in a blues band, and I'm actually the bar's, you know, the house musician here. And we're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And we're just talking about it, and, you know, he had, like, a lot of really interesting stories about his life. And then this other guy I was sitting next to, he just kind of joined in on our conversation. And I was like, hey, man, how's it going? He's like, hey, happy birthday, and blah, blah, blah. And it was really weird because he was talking with, like, a British accent. And I was wondering, like, why does this guy have a British accent or whatever? It was kind of out of place. And then so he asked me, he's like, hey, do you happen to know any hostels that don't need American passports? I'm like, American passports? Why? Why? You don't have an American passport? He's like, no, man, I'm from New York. I'm like, New York? Why do you have a fucking British accent, right? He's like, well, because when I was in the Philippines, you know, at school, I learned my English from British nuns. And I was like, well, I'll be damned, because my cousin and I, we're Filipino too. And he's like, no shit. We're like, yeah, man. And so we're like, yeah, cool. And so, you know, in Tagalog, you know, in the Philippines, whenever we take a shot, we say, like, mabuhay, right? And it just means long live. So I was like, all right, man, let's get some shots. So I told my cousin, like, dude, this guy's kababayan, man. You know, he's like, he's a countryman. And he's like, oh, cool. So we had our shots. I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3, mabuhay. And so we started taking shots. And then I started getting the whole bar into it too, because more people started coming in and stuff like that. And everyone's like, hey, man, it's this guy's 21st birthday. And everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah, happy 21st. And, you know, people were just buying me drinks and shit. And then so I was like, you know what, guys? All right, 1, 2, 3. Everyone say mabuhay, mabuhay. We just started drinking and just pounding them back. And then I remember we were talking about the weirdest things too. Like, we got into discussion of, like, riverboat captains and how riverboat captains actually get paid quite a lot of money. Like, definitely, like, I think, like, 90-some thousand or something like that. I mean, they get paid a lot of fucking money just, like, to navigate these rivers.
That's pretty good.
And we're just wondering, it's like, man, why do these guys who have, you know, an intimate knowledge of riverbeds and whatnot, why do they get paid so much more than teachers, you know? Why did teachers get the shaft? And so we started talking about that and all these other things. And then more people kept buying me drinks. And I just remember we were pretty shit-faced at the time. And then finally it got to the point where, like, my cousin looked at the watch. He's like, oh, shit, man. The show's already started. You know, we got to go. And so, like, all right, okay, guys, we got to go. We got to go to our show. And so everyone's like, yeah, happy birthday, Jonathan. Mabuhay. I'm like, yeah, mabuhay. And then we left the... You know, we left the bar, and so, you know, we're just kind of staggering over to the venue, which actually is really close by. And so we get in, and first thing we do, go to the bar. And my cousin's like, hey, it's my cousin's 21st birthday. What can you do for him? And the bartender's like, free fucking tequila. And so he gives, you know, pours me some tequila, and we're like, yeah, man. So I pound it back, and, you know, we're totally getting sloshed. And, you know, the band comes on, it's, you know, it's a really good show and everything. And then it turns out that it's also the lead singer's birthday, at, you know, that day too. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just wanted to wish one of the band members, like, yeah, you know, it's such and such's birthday. And I was like, hey, man, it's my fucking birthday, too. And they're like, no shit, yeah. And then, like, three other people, like, yeah, it's actually my birthday, too. And they're like, well, I'll be damned. So why don't you guys come up on the stage? And so we all came up on the stage, and I was like, all right, let's, you know, and then we all sang, like, you know, happy birthday. It was but it was, like, a different version of happy birthday. And so we're all singing, like, the happy birthday song and stuff like that. And then that was that. And then after that, one of the other bands that was playing was actually one of the local bands from El Paso, actually New Mexico. But remember that band No Regrets? And
I remember that.
So No Regrets was playing there, and I remember I was like, "Hey guys, what are you doing here?" And they're like, "Dude, Jonathan, what are you doing here?" I was like, "Oh, I'm here for my 21st birthday." They're like, "Your 21st birthday? We're buying you a drink."
Wow.
So,
oh god.
So I got even more free drinks, and then like I just remember just, you know, chilling in their van and talking about it. They're on tour at the time, and so you know, we're just catching up, and it was really interesting just to finally, you know, to see these guys from my hometown, you know, play at this very club on this very night, you know. So it was really interesting for that to
happen. It all came together. Yeah.
And then I remember when we got back to his car, he had a parking ticket. My cousin had a parking ticket on his car. We're like, fuck. Dang. So that was the downer of that night. But other than that, it was pretty cool.
I'll have to say that, but I think that one's probably going to be the winner right there, as far as stories go.
I don't know. Patrick's is pretty good.
Well,
I remember Patrick's nice.
Okay, mine wasn't as cool. Mine was just pathetic because I'm going to start off by saying first that, you know, I understand Johnny was working, so he wasn't able to be there. And no one had informed me the whole beer before liquor, you know, liquor before beer. I believe the phrase is beer before liquor will make you sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear.
Yeah. I think that was intentional, Pat.
That's the phrase.
I had to discover that on my own, essentially. And what had happened is we went out. I think we started at Applebee's. I think it was me, Chase, Brandon, and Julian. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we went to Applebee's, and then I started buying these ridiculously huge beers. I think I actually got a Blue Moon.
Yep.
And then I got a mixed drink, which was like a Bahama Mama, I think.
Bahama Mama?
Yeah, that's right. It was the Bahama Mama, yeah.
What'd you guys take him to?
And then we...
Applebee's. You just said Applebee's.
we started with Applebee's.
And yeah, then it started. The night of debauchery started Applebee's.
And then... we went to... After we had gone to that, we decided, hey, you know what? Let's go to Ale House. We went to Ale House, and that's where the nonsense really began. Because all I remember was being given shots of tequila, one by the waitress, and then somebody ordered me something called a fire and ice.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, hey, man, you gotta try this fire and ice. Yeah.
And that was really good, actually. That was really good. It tasted like peppermint, like a really strong peppermint.
Yep.
But it was good. And then Brandon got me something called Brandon or Julian, I can't remember who, got me something called a B-52.
That's right, yeah.
And that... I was already losing it at that point, and then I even remember at one point Brandon's all, you know, he's stumbling himself a little bit. I think Julian was driving, and
I think
so
I drove home drunk that night too.
Oh God, I hope not. It's amazing I got home
be
as it was.
Admitting that.
No, we had a clear, you know, DD that night. There you go. Yeah. And but I just remember Brandon saying, I have to go to the restroom, and he's all, Patrick, come with me because I don't think we're going to make it. And then I went with him, and sure enough, it was the most difficult journey to the restroom I have ever faced because people are looking at me all stupid, and I'm new to the whole buzz thing because, you know, I never really messed with it before, and I'm trying to dodge people, and I'm thinking I'm looking stupid in front of them, and really they're probably just as gone as I am. And then we come back, and I'm like, okay, good, the night's over. I don't have to mess with this anymore, and it was fun, but now I got to get home. And then somebody recommended I get a beer called the Incredible Hulk.
It wasn't a beer. It was just a drink.
That's right, yeah. The Incredible
that
Hulk.
That explains it. So to this day, I can remember how the Incredible Hulk tasted. It was awful, but I drank it all anyway.
Oh, my God.
I guess because it tasted bad, but I figured, you know, it's free. Somebody got it for me. I got to show them that I'm grateful for it. I got to try.
Yeah.
And then after that, we decided that we were going to leave and go back to Chase's house at the time, the one there on Edgemere. And I remember just being gone and just, like, totally perplexed at what was going on. I was tired. I had all these new feelings I never felt before. And then I remember you guys were doing something. I forget what happened. Tip showed up at one point. I think you guys started making a bonfire or something, or if that was... No, that was a different story.
That was a different story. Yeah.
That's a different
story. That's a different story.
It's a cloudy night.
Johnny, I called Johnny, or somebody called Johnny, thank God. It was Brandon. And then I'll let Johnny pick up what he remembers of the story from this point.
Well, so I get off of work, and I get this phone call from Brandon saying, hey, you know, we're kind of, you know, screwed up, so you need to come get your brother because I don't think we're going to make it. So sure enough, I go to Chase's house, and... you know, I don't know who let me in. I think it was Chase. I don't know who let me in anyway. So what's just so funny was seeing how, you know, Chase, Tip, and, you know, Jules, Patrick, how everybody's the complete opposite of what I know them to be. You know, when I think of Chase and Brandon, realistically, I think of, okay, guys that, you know, that are careful with their words. They like to articulate very carefully. You know, they're great storytellers. This whole thing. But when I go there, every other word out of their mouth was the F-bomb, the S-bomb, everything. They were just completely swearing up every little word, even just saying hello.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, hello, Johnny, shit, shit. And then they were talking to each other like, oh, shit, Brandon, that's great. Oh, crap, that's bitching, man. It was perfect. So
that is the most effing coolest lamp I've ever seen.
And it's because when you drink, your vocabulary is very limited.
You have a soft tongue. So,
then
I go to Jules. And Jules, I kind of expect him to be like, you know, he's, you know, he's smart. He wants to be in charge. He kind of like, you know, he's cool with himself. You know, he wants to be cool with other people. You know, he's a very confident guy. But he doesn't like to show a lot of emotion. Well, after the alcohol killed all of that, he was real affectionate, like,
yeah, you get that
hi, Johnny,
drunk
how
again,
are you?
Though.
He gives me a hug. You know what? I love you guys. I love you too, Jules. Oh, my God. And then the best part is, you know, I go to, you know, Tip's kind of doing his thing, which is like, you know, jumping around, and he's having a great old time. You get to... You know, Tip, it's really hard to tell when he's drunk and when he's not drunk because he's the same person no matter what happens.
Oh, man. That's good or bad.
I don't know either.
And then, of course,
he keeps it guessing.
And of course, Patrick, you know, the loud mouth of the group, you know, he always likes to, you know, shout at things. He's like a howler monkey, you know? But when I go to look for Patrick, you know, everybody doesn't tell me where Patrick is. I have to go find him myself. So Patrick's there sitting in the backyard, like on some kind of bench or something. And he's just, you know, Patrick's this person that's real loud. But not sitting there, he's just quiet. He's sitting there rocking to himself saying, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home.
When is it over? When does it over? And,
yeah, so finally I said, get your ass in the car. And if you puke in my car, I'll kick your ass. You know, I was pissed. And on the ride home, I told him, I was like, don't you dare puke in my car. No, Johnny, I won't. No, I just need to go to the bathroom, man. My stomach's really...
Didn't.
No, you didn't. Yeah. My stomach's really hurting. I just got to go to the bathroom, man. And once I go to the bathroom, I'll be all cool. I was like, all right, man. So he came upstairs. You know, he got upstairs by himself. And then, you know, I started getting ready for bed. No, hold on. I have to finish this.
You don't have to go into that far.
I got
to
finish this. So then he goes into the bathroom. And I thought, okay, well, he's, you know, go to the bathroom and go to bed, whatever. And all of a sudden I hear,
you see, this is what I get for letting you take over
and he's
the
completely, you know, basically coughing out a lung into the toilet over there. And it's awful. So, you know, I was like, okay, you know what? Fine. That's a result, whatever. But what pissed me off is that after he was done, I was like, okay, well, I can't go in there now because if I smell throw up, I'm going to start throwing up.
Come on.
So I went in there. Yeah. After it was all done,
Johnny.
And hold on, and he completely, in some parts, missed the toilet. and it was everywhere. And I told him, I was so pissed off. And I told him, I was like, look, if you don't get your ass in there and start cleaning this shit up, I'm going to tell mom and dad what happened, and they're never going to let you go out again. And he's like, no, no, I cleaned it, I cleaned it. Oh my. And he did. He went in there, he cleaned it up, he did a great job. But it was hilarious. Good, yeah. I'll never forget that night.
And I will tell you, because of that night, I will never get that drunk again. Never, ever, ever. That was the worst.
Then a couple weeks later.
No, you did get that drunk again.
But I didn't mix my alcohol.
Okay, yeah, at least you did it right. But
I did it right. But here's what happened the next day. And this is part of the reason why I'll never do it again. Obviously, I did my parents a favor by cleaning the bathroom. You know, to their knowledge, I just woke up and decided I wanted to clean the bathroom for them. That's as far as they knew, or so I thought. And I remember that all of a sudden we were outside doing yard work, and I was, you know, my head was throbbing at the time. Coffee wasn't helping. And Brandon and Chase showed up. I guess they felt so bad for me because I guess they assumed that I was going to be pretty far gone. And they brought me these charcoal pills.
That's right. Yeah, we brought you charcoal pills.
And to this day, I'm not sure exactly what they did, but I know that they did help a lot with my head hurting and all that crap.
Yeah, man. Charcoal pills are like the miracle drug for hangovers or anything.
Well, the worst part of the whole thing was is that I didn't call April that night. We were out the whole night. We were getting drinks and all this good stuff was fine. And I remember that at one point when we were at the ale house, they were actually at the Applebee's right there. And we were trying to hide from them, letting them know that, you know, we weren't there. And she called me at Applebee's, or she texted me at Applebee's. Oh, she knows now. Believe me, she knows now. Okay. And she texted me, hey, make sure you let me know when you get home. I want to make sure you get home safe. I said, okay, I'm here. I'm with the guys. We're safe. We're just having drinks. It's all fun. The rest of the night, she doesn't hear from me. Oh. You know? So the next day, I got in the most trouble I had ever been in my entire life. And I think she stayed pissed off at me for at least a month because she had no idea where I was. And I thought you were dead. I'm not dead. I'm here. I'm fine. But, you know, she got all upset. Oh, my God. Man. And I've never been in that far of cahoots with April while we were dating. And at this point, it's like, oh, my God, I don't think I could ever drink like that again.
Well, you...
and then you I mean, did. I could, then, but the right way. There
you go. You definitely did.
Yeah. By the way, he married April, so just so everybody knows.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So let that be a lesson to all you gentlemen out there, is that you can screw up royally, and as long as you beg really hard, usually it'll work out.
Yeah. So then we got another story that is mainly concentrated around Julian and I, or Julian, Jonathan, and I, where we went out for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, Drinco de Mayo.
Oh, I like this story.
Okay, maybe that was the night I did kind of, you know, I admit, I did kind of drive home a little drunk. I shouldn't have. But
that was the night where I definitely drove a lot of fairly, stuff was.
Yeah.
The I drove fairly Express slow. Express podcast does not condone drinking and driving.
No, in no way does it.
But luckily, I live fairly close to where we were drinking. So it wasn't really a big deal.
But that's no excuse.
Yeah,
no excuse.
It's okay if you live close.
However, in this fictional scenario, go on.
We were there, and we decided, oh, let's go out for Cinco de Mayo. And I'm not exactly sure what we were drinking. I just remember the night started off with us thinking, oh, let's start with a Mexican beer. So,
like Tecate or something? Was it Tecate?
Waste.
Yeah, we don't do cerveza, or we don't do Corona or something like that. We just go
Tecate. Any beer you need to add a lime to it as a rule is just awful. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have to add things to your beer like
or your
salt
tequila for that matter.
Right, yeah.
I mean, why do people I don't understand why people need to have a lime and salt for a tequila. That's it completely kills the flavor of tequila.
It's a chaser, that's what it is.
I don't know.
It's because the reason why is because, you know, a lot of times we're not drinking high-end tequila.
Okay.
You know, we're basically drinking.
So you're basically drinking to get drunk.
And
oh, stupid.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You know, if you want really good tequila, you're gonna have to pay for it. And really good tequila,
a lot of people that drink tequila don't want to pay for it.
It's not meant to be like taken as a shot. It's meant to be, you know, sipped.
Exactly.
When you have, you know, very high quality tequila, right? But
It's just go on, Tim. Yeah.
Well, what we're drinking is of no consequence to the story. We were just drunk, and we decided when we were drunk that, hey, we shouldn't drive home drunk. We should go get something to eat first.
Oh, right. That's right.
So
yeah, I remember, yeah.
We were there with Julian, and we decided, let's walk to the Village Inn. It's not that far. First of all, it is that far, and it's all uphill.
That was
and then when you're,
hard.
Yeah.
That was very hard.
So then when you're drunk and you're walking uphill like a mile and you get to a storm drain, that storm drain becomes a river, and it took us 10 minutes to cross the storm drain because we didn't want to drown in the river.
Oh god.
Oh yeah.
And the very last little piece I remember of Cinco de Mayo is leaving Village Inn, Julian trying to usher out Jonathan because Jonathan kept hitting on this girl.
Oh boy.
I don't remember who it was either.
Oh, I remember exactly who it was because it'll lead into something else here in a second.
Oh god. Uh-oh. Okay.
So Jonathan's hitting on this girl, and then I decide, well, Julian's trying to cockblock Jonathan here, so I'll help him out. So I go and I write Jonathan's phone number down on the napkin.
Oh, man.
And while Julian's busy with Jonathan, I turn to the right real fast and do evasive maneuvers and walk up to her and say, hey, my friend really likes this, or really likes you, and I give her Jonathan's number.
I don't remember this, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, there's a reason, after we got home and everything, there's a reason why she never called Jonathan.
Why is that?
Her name was Rochelle.
Uh-huh.
And she joined Army ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point was seeing Brandon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
And then, as it turns up, she wasn't into the dudes.
Oh, at that time.
Yeah, so, well, Brandon was like a rare occurrence, I think.
I guess so.
Maybe it's because he doesn't look very manly.
He's not here to defend himself, so.
Yeah. No,
yeah. Does Brandon even listen to these?
He's sleeping in some guy's car. I don't know.
What?
Hopefully not at this point.
I was saying that. Yeah, does Brandon even listen to this?
I don't think he has yet. I don't think he has the time to.
He's in for a surprise though when he gets to Korea.
Yeah, he has 4 episodes to catch up on. And we talk about him in every single one.
Poor Brandon.
Yeah. It's only out of endearment.
Yeah, of course.
So if your name is Brandon and you'd like to defend yourself, you have to get on to the podcast here. Otherwise,
or you can call the law offices of Wyatt and Underwood, and I'm sure they'll have some sort of suit.
Yeah, good luck finding that law office in Korea. No.
Yeah, I remember Cinco de Mayo. I remember being at the Village Inn, and I do remember hitting on Rochelle, but I didn't know that she was seeing Brandon or anything at the time.
Wasn't seeing him at the time. That was just, when Brandon introduced me to her, that's when I found out that was the girl. She's like, hey, I remember you. And I was like, excuse me? I don't understand. Let's explore the situation further. She's like, yeah, you're the one that gave me your friend's number when you were drunk.
Uh-oh.
And the only thing I think of was, it must have been Jonathan. it was just weird how everything kind of got together and, like, went full circle there.
Mm-hmm. As I recall, didn't you guys, like, call Johnny at one point to go pick up Julian or something like that?
I think so, because we had driven to the alehouse, and I think we took 2 separate cars, because I remember my car was there, and then I think it was Remember the guy from Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, right.
Samra?
Yeah.
No, that's what we're trying to avoid saying, but...
Jeff Daniels.
We're going to have to bleep that part out.
Was it there during that time where he was dating her? Or her?
No, this was after.
Cause this was after. College.
He was dating Audrey at that time.
Okay, never mind. So, yeah, he didn't call her. I'm sorry. Yeah, so I can probably delete that. I don't know. Anyways.
Leave that in, because he probably called Audrey.
I think he probably did call someone, and then they picked him up. And I remember I was like...
We think he called someone.
I'm pretty sure it was Johnny that he called, because I remember telling Johnny that night, hey, Johnny, the guys are stuck at Village Inn. They need a ride home. Do you think you can get it? Yeah. Johnny said, hell no. They got there on their own. They can figure out how to get home on their own.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I remember... Because our whole reason for going to Village Inn was to try and sober up.
Yeah.
And we were still pretty liquored up. And even the walk back, I remember having to walk back to where my car was. And I think that helped out a lot more on the way back. But.
Yeah.
Having eaten and all that.
Yeah. So. I probably should have called someone, but I didn't at the time. I didn't really have anyone to call. I was like, well, I don't want to wait.
Neither did I. I didn't have anyone to call either.
Yeah, you should have just called a cab. It's one of the most practical things.
Who has money for a taxi in El Paso?
Especially after the night we obviously had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We spent quite a bit of money just on drinking, and then food, and. I think we were tapped out of resources at that time.
Yeah.
So speaking of being out drinking and all these crazy things happening, something that I wanted to work into was that what are we going to do for Johnny's bachelor party?
That's another show. When that's is that? Another
that's
show.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's another show?
No okay. one's even well, told what? Me something, anything.
Johnny, would you like to
no,
tell
no, that's
something
another
here?
Show for another day.
Well, yeah, use the context clues, guys, listeners, yeah, and you might be okay. able to figure
there
something out.
There are people to do listen to this, clues. So, you know, I gotta completely, yeah, another show for another day.
All right, that's the story
Wait,
for
so
next time.
So she actually
time.
Listens to this?
Wow.
Wow.
Nice. I cannot get April to listen to this for my life.
Really?
She will not listen to this. She goes, you guys all talk about really gross things. I'm like, not all the time.
We don't talk about anything gross. I mean, it's not like we're talking about shit sandwiches.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Okay.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Holy F, we're all dead. Get the F out.
Hey, kids, get the fuck alone.
Who wants body massage?
Body massage.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about here, it's the parodies, the G.I. Joe parodies that were made a while back. That are the most hilarious thing. I'll link them to them as
from
well.
It was from the old public service announcements. After every episode, they always had some kind of funny-ass public service announcement where, you know, it was some kind of real-world situation. And, you know, before the kid makes the stupidest mistake in the universe, some G.I. Joe pops out of the bushes and is like, wait. You don't
hey,
want to do this.
Get off my ice. Don't you get off my ice.
Give him the stick. No, don't give him the stick. G.I. Joe. Man, that...
Okay. All right. Well, we're hitting about
I guess
that. That'll
be a good time to end this episode.
Yeah.
I like how it just kind of flies by.
Yeah, for sure.
Good memories. A lot, especially that memory, we'll have to talk about this next time. We went to Julian's engagement party at, what's that stupid place called? Damn it. Guys, what's that place called on, it was on Mesa, that pool place?
Clicks.
915, there we go.
915. It was formerly Clicks.
We bought shots. Because we thought everyone was going to drink. So no one else was going to drink. So Johnny and I had 4 shots and two bottles of beer each.
I didn't drink anything.
You weren't there. You were already in Japan.
Yeah, there was like, it was like 5 beers in a bucket. And me and Tip said, no beer left behind.
Yeah. So.
Well. Needs to say, yeah. That's another story for another day.
I don't know how we got to Village Inn.
That's a story for another day, yeah. Oh, man. I'm sad that terrible. I missed that.
I think we're going to have to talk to Village Inn about becoming an official sponsor.
Yeah, no kidding. Village Inn, even though it's completely changed now.
Yeah. It's okay.
We'll sponsor us to change it back.
They'll sponsor us not to come back.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. That's another story of just being blacklisted I don't know how many times from that restaurant.
Just had to wait for new management.
That would forget us and actually give us good service.
We should make a show dedicated just to Village Inn because we have so many stories about that place.
We do.
That would be like 2 weeks worth of shows.
Probably would be.
We'll have to do an insurgent story telling about that. All right. Very cool. We should probably wrap this up because if the bandwidth gets too large, then it's going to not fit onto the hosting site. So
we don't have too much space. All right. So thank you for listening and hope you tune in next time.
Good night.
Yeah, see you later.
See ya.
See you guys later. Bye. Have a good one. Bye.